Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the How We Interview podcast. In this episode, I had the pleasure of talking with my good friend, David Heller. David Heller is the co-founder of ReMB, and we talk about that a little bit in the podcast. It's really a great opportunity to talk about where this crazy podcast came from and where we think it's going. So with that, enjoy. Welcome, David, to this episode of the How We Interview podcast. It's kind of funny because we spent a lot of time talking about like operationally running the podcast, but it's fun to sit down with you. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I actually never thought I would be a guest on here. I resisted being a guest on here, but it felt like after 20-something episodes, my excuses were wearing thin.
You did. It was funny because I was like, oh, we should totally like kick this off. And it was like, we should do like the fifth episode. And you've been very kind in putting up with me, my insistence on having you on. I love it. For anybody listening, it'd be awesome if you can just talk us through your background. And then I'd love to talk about like how did this all start?
So my background, I've heard so many episodes of this podcast, I should have been prepared for that question. And here I am not prepared. So my background is that I live in Portland now, have for going on 11 years, I think, something like that. But actually, I was born in upstate New York, raised in Florida. Lived all over the place. I was in the Army for 8 years. I was people usually talk to me and don't believe I was in the Army, but I was actually in the Army for 8 years. I was a light wheel vehicle mechanic. So I worked on Humvees and deuce and a halfs and all that stuff. But always had a interest in technology and entrepreneurship. Even when I was in the Army, I did people's taxes for them on the side. And I guess I think this will come up. Like I feel like my wheelhouse in the technology space is back office stuff. And so I guess it lines up with me filling out people's tax forms in the middle of the desert. So, And then after I got out of the Army, I finished up my degree at the University of Colorado and then got my MBA. I started working for Hewlett Packard. I worked for Hewlett Packard. I had two separate six-year stints, so over 12 years total with HP, and really got deep into like procurement technology but decided I was a lot of startup stuff I was reading, and I wanted to be part of a smaller company. And so I joined a medical device startup. That was actually my first startup that I was part of. Did some other jobs, product management jobs, between those stints at HP and afterwards. I wanted to do something on my own. I think a lot of people work in corporate America or work somewhere, you can get frustrated and you're like, you know, these idiots. So I can't, you know, I can, why don't they do this? Why don't they do this? This would be so much easier. And like a way to, I don't know, kind of prove it, like do it yourself then. if you have all these ideas on how things should be done, then do it. So I did it. ReMB is the third product that I've launched. The other two had, you know, we didn't have an exit other than unplugging the lights and locking the door. That was our exit. But ReMB we launched it in 2017. So our first candidate payout was in December of 2017. With my co-founder, Paul, who lives in Poland. We might get into how Paul and I met, but that's kind of where we are. I have a wife, I have an adult son, I have a 13-year-old daughter, and that's me.
Yeah, that's awesome. You and I met through a mutual friend, And we had some calls. This is all during COVID, right? So nobody was leaving the house. But I do remember very clearly you and I went and grabbed a drink. And I'm a big proponent. Like, you don't always get to choose who you're related to, and you don't get to choose who you work with. But if you find people where you share common ground, and you and I have a lot of common ground, a lot of baseball, pre-prohibition cocktails, television, music, what have you. I remember the first time we had a drink together, like we'd probably still be sitting there talking about stuff, which kind of kicked off this partnership, which I'm super appreciative of. But for folks that are listening, they heard you say Riembi. Like, can you talk about what Riembi does?
Sure. Riembi is a platform that our customers use to make sure their job candidates are reimbursed quickly for their interview expenses. That's the most common way that Riembi is used. Riembi is also used for other types of non-employee reimbursements, board members, interns, conference speakers. So basically, any type of reimbursement that you need to process as a company, but it's not to an employee. We do have a handful of customers that also use Riembi for employee reimbursements because Riembi is so easy to use. But our sweet spot is really non-employee reimbursements, with the majority of those being job candidates.
Okay. And I remember the first time we talked about Riembi, one of the things you always like, because I'm always on the consumer side, right, is you talk about a product, you get pitched something, and you're like, that's literally a problem nobody has. Like, what are we doing? But the minute you mention and you talk through Riembi with me, I'm like, God, that is a huge issue. Like, really a huge issue. And anytime somebody's been on the back end of like quarterly reporting and everybody's flushing their expenses all through at the same time, which is a nightmare for accounting. You can't account for anything. Mm-hmm. And the fact, and it's never easy. It's always super laborious. And so the fact that you do this, and you mentioned yourself, is super easy to use. I think it definitely solves a problem that many of us have. You and I, in addition to talking about baseball and pre-prohibition cocktails, I had gotten myself good and laid off last May, and you were kind enough to take me out and get me out of the house and have some drinks. And you said, "Hey, I'm thinking about having a podcast. I'm looking for a host," which I totally missed the cue. I was like, "Yeah, I'll totally find you one." And you're like, "No, that's you." I'd love for you to talk about, like, because that's kind of far afield from like the day in, day out work that Riembi does. I'd like to talk about your interest and like why the podcast, and then we can also talk about like the local meetups that you're sponsoring as well.
Sure. So the idea for the podcast was, and I think, you know, the original thought of what the structure of the podcast could be, which it has evolved in very good ways from that, is conversations. I was curious, coming out of the pandemic, like how companies were actually conducting interviews. Like that I was, you know, because I see it with our customers. I know that all of our customers bring candidates on site to some degree for interviews, and those candidates are reimbursed for their interview expenses. Now, we also have customers that use Riembi to buy their candidates lunch on a remote interview. So there's all kinds of flavors of it. And there was also a lot of chatter on LinkedIn about how just everything was remote. Everything's remote. And I know it's not, because I see the activity in Riembi. We do more reimbursement payouts now than we did before the pandemic. So I think there's this narrative that's on LinkedIn that everything's remote, nobody ever sees each other in person, and it's just, and though I acknowledge, and it is absolutely true, that many companies have gone to remote interviewing, and almost everybody interviews remotely somewhat. But I mean, we can go back decades, and you know, your initial phone screen was remote. You know, like, so those things. So it's been done for a long time, and I think it has become more adopted as technology has somewhat improved. But I think I was just curious how companies were thinking about how they were conducting interviews. And then I think the other piece of it is things I was hearing anecdotally about why companies were changing their interview processes. one way or the other. Like, why have they gone more remote? Or maybe they were backing off remote and starting to bring more people back into the office for interviews, or gathering in regional locations and having days where they just, instead of people coming into a company location or company headquarters, you would have regional events and bring people on site. So I think there's just all these flavors. So that was the idea. And I also knew 100% I did not want to host it. I think no one wants to hear, few people want to hear a vendor talk. they want to hear from another practitioner. I want to hear, like, if I'm, you know, listening to a podcast, I want to hear somebody that does it, you know, that's their profession. They're not, you know, talking about something because they also want to sell you something. And so I think the podcasts are better, especially in the HR world, when they're hosted by practitioners. So, and you're a super nice guy and you have a gift. So I think it was a great fit, and it's really turned out well over the last year.
I agree. I have to be honest. When you first mentioned it, I was like, I just couldn't see it. Like, I'm just like, I don't know, you know, and it's not like we get, you know, 100,000 listens every episode, mm-hmm. but I get a lot of really positive feedback for what we're doing. I think one of the things that's interesting is like the initial intent of the podcast.
Yep.
Like, you and I had a very clear idea what it was going to be. And as we started talking to people, it morphed. Right.
Yep.
And I've been on the other side of this. I've been on the practitioner side where I would be on somebody's podcast or I would do an interview, and then they would give me the finished product back, and there'd be all these red lines, and you can't say this and you can't do this. And people's interview processes are, that's kind of precious yep. territory. Like, they yep. weren't as excited about sharing it as you and I were about hearing it, which, yep. which is fascinating. And we do have some episodes where people definitely get into the weeds on that. So that's, for me, been one of the really interesting learnings. What has surprised you most, or what's one of your biggest learnings from 23 episodes in?
I think the variety of people that we've had, you know, people that are more focused on employer brand, people that are focused on recruiting operations, people that are sourcers, that are recruiters. We've just had the gamut. And I think it's been very interesting to have those different voices on. I think it's been helpful. We've had some guests, you've had some guests from outside the US, which I think has been great, which has been great. So I think the variety of it has been really good. And I think there's still so much more, you know, from different types of companies, from different sizes, industries, all of that. And then I think this, it's not a surprise, but it's been reinforced, is part of the reason that, you know, Rambi, so we've been around for 7 years, and I really enjoy it. It's because I really enjoy our customers. And I think because almost all of our customers are somewhat in recruiting, and I think recruiting people in recruiting are generally very nice, good people. And so it's just a pleasure to listen to them. They're interesting. And so I think that all that comes out on the podcast as well.
100% agree. I think there are probably exceptions to the rule, but if you're in recruiting, you do it because you want to like match opportunity with people and you want to help people be successful. And it's a very heavy thing when you really break it down, what recruiters do. Yeah. You don't meet a lot of folks that don't care about people in business. It's just, so it makes them a good hang. It makes them a really good time. They're fascinating. They love to talk. They love to share. They love to communicate and really connect with folks, which is probably part of the reason I ended up here, because those are all things I think that apply to me and you, for that matter. You're kind of like, we adopt you into the recruiting world. You're kind of one of us at this point. You mentioned being kind of hesitant about being on. I would love, like, if somebody's listening to this, because I have got some friends, some folks I've introduced to, I'm like, you should be on a podcast. And they're like, I have nothing to say, or I'm nervous, or whatever. Mm. Like, what advice would you give for somebody who's like, you know, something interesting to share. And maybe that's part of the hangup. They're like, I don't have anything interesting to share. And I would argue everybody has something.
Absolutely.
That's my job to get that out. But yeah. What advice would you give somebody who's just like, I just don't know. I just don't think I can do it.
This episode of How We Interview is brought to you by Riembi. You understand the importance of maximizing your team's efficiency. Instead of having your recruiters or coordinators spend time with expense reports to reimburse candidates for interview expenses, automate the process with Riembi. Riembi streamlines the reimbursement process, ensuring your candidates receive their reimbursement quickly and accurately. Your team can focus on other essential aspects of the hiring process by eliminating reimbursement tasks from their workload. Automating reimbursements is a significant improvement to the candidate experience. No more dealing with spreadsheets, attaching receipts to emails, or waiting weeks to receive the payout. With Riembi, the reimbursement payout to your candidates is sent the same day expenses are approved. To learn more about how Riembi can help your team, visit Riembi.com. That's Riembi, R-E-I-M-B-I.com.
No matter who you meet, you can learn something from that person. And so understanding if you're on the other side of that, that you have something that's going to be interesting or shareable with anybody you talk to. And it's just a matter of how the conversation gets framed. So that comes out. And that's that, like you said, that's what you're really good at. And you can ask questions and the person doesn't have to, there's no preparation. You don't have to have notes out and things like that. It'll be a worse podcast actually if you're like going down a checklist. So and it's, I think more people should take advantage of the opportunity just to be able to talk and have this type of experience and get more people know their name and who they are. So yeah, but and it's interesting. My hesitancy for not wanting to be on the podcast was my thing about I really want How We Interview to be a practitioner to practitioner conversation. Mm-hmm. And we've had a couple people on that, are more, I would say, more on the vendor side than they are on the practitioner side. And that's fine. Those conversations have been great. And no one comes on with a heavy pitch on, what they're trying to do. I can't think of it. But that was my real hesitancy, was just trying to make it as practitioner to practitioner as possible.
Like you said, I mean, everybody has something to share. I have probably learned more or taken more than I have given in my interviews. I'm always learning something new, or I'm like, I just never thought of it that way. Mm-hmm. And I find myself kind of parroting some of the things that we've sussed out in these discussions in my work life, which is awesome. It's kind of like going back to school in a lot of ways. Speaking of other things you're involved in, you host kind of like a quarterly meetup in the Portland, Oregon area. Mm-hmm. And I've been to them all.
You are a co-host.
I am a co-host of these meetups. But I guess part of me is like super excited about them because mm-hmm. for those of us that are remote,
yep.
I think we don't realize it until we get around a group of folks that we yep. take a lot of value in, that it's like this ache you didn't need. I think Celinda Appleby is the one that said, she's like, yep. I didn't realize how much I missed this.
Yep.
And so for those that, working remote can be very isolating.
Yes.
I haven't left this house in 4 days. Like, I lied. I went to a concert last night, but usually Monday through Friday, like it's Groundhog's Day. And so you've created this environment. I think it's something that you and I have talked about maybe doing in other places. If nothing else, it's an excuse for us to travel. bringing a group of like-minded folks in the TA space together. There's no pitch. We don't try to sell anything. Yep. It's really just an opportunity to connect, maybe talk about a couple things that we're all feeling, thinking, or working through,
yep.
have a drink or two, and get to know one another. I'd love to talk about, kind of where the impetus for that was and where you see that going.
Yeah. So the TA happy hours. So the very first one was I had done, I can't remember timing wise, but it was in Salt Lake City. It was outside of, it was actually, the story was, is Riembi tried to sponsor an event it was a conference. It was a, don't even get in the weeds on what, it was an event, a recruiting event. And Riambi tried to be a sponsor and we just couldn't work it out. It was too late, whatever. And so I said, well, I'm going to go out there anyway. And I'm going to be there. So I said, I'll just do a happy hour and see who I can get to show up. So, and I just called it generically the TA happy hour and, you know, was able to figure out some people that were attending the event and then some people that were local to Salt Lake City. And that was the first one. And it was, I think the conversation was so good. I couldn't wait to do it back in Portland. And then it was also, I think the education piece of it back to, you know, making sure that from an authenticity standpoint, that whenever these happen, that there's a practitioner working on it with me so that it doesn't come across as like, you know, come out and have dinner and hear about our timeshare. Like this is a happy hour for talent acquisition people. And yes, Riambi is going to buy you a drink or two. And you know, back to like our shared interests on things, you're a great fit for that one too. So, and Kelly has been great with that too. She's super helpful in getting the word out and showing up every time and, you know, helping to host those. So, I think the big reason for it, and I have to be careful not to get too high up on my soapbox here, but I just feel that too many people have sunk too deep into the remote way of living. And you know, just like you said, it's just too easy to wake up, walk down the hallway, walk, if you're lucky, walk into another room and, you know, work and, you know, have lunch there and just never leave. I don't think it's good. I don't think it's good for society. I don't think it's good for people's careers. Like I am not a, you know, advocate for everybody must be in the office for five days a week, you know, 8 to 5, all of that. But I also, remote work works for you, great. But I think like somehow people have to prioritize like being part of society and then professionally really working their network and building a network in person, because LinkedIn ain't it. Like it is like there have been, you know, connections can be made on LinkedIn. I'm not disputing it, but the connections you'll make in person are going to be 10 times, 100 times more valuable and stronger than, you know, people that you only know online. That's my opinion.
100%. And I've, you know, I'm like counterpoint over here, right? I've probably worked remote 20, 21, 22 years. And for all the benefits, like not commuting, being a little more control back of your life, all those different things, that there is, it comes at a cost and it can be very isolating. And if you don't proactively care for yourself, your mentals, making sure you have some feeling of connection, it can be challenging. I mean, you were talking about remote interviewing before. My last two jobs, I didn't meet the people in person until I was months and months and months into the role. Yeah. And that's in a way kind of insane. Now that I've worked with folks, I've had the opportunity to meet them in person, but it's just little tidbits, right? You don't go as deep as if you were to see somebody. And that's why for me personally, like I'd be 100% down with a hybrid type role where you kind of get the best of both worlds. Yeah. I get a little in person, you get a little bit at home. But I mentioned Groundhog's Day. That feeling is real. I mean, if you're listening to this and you've been working remote for any period of time, the weeks turn into months, the months turn into years really, really fast. I don't think the quality of work suffers as much, but it is really easy to feel untethered when, yeah. I mean, I'm surrounded by houseplants in here and Legos and autographs. It's it doesn't anything to give you an affinity towards a brand you work for or the people that you work with. It's really, really, I've just never met anybody who's able to craft really deep, meaningful relationships in a fully virtual world.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, if you don't have anything to compare it to, then you'll think those are strong relationships. You know, like if all of your professional connections are remote, then you think those are strong connections until, you know, you have, oh, wow, I have a coworker that lives nearby and we get together for lunch once a month or coffee, you know, a couple times a month, whatever. And then, you know, maybe that, you know, becomes a really strong professional connection. I had just a couple of weeks ago, a guy I used to work with at HP years ago, years and years and years ago, he and his family came through Portland and, you know, he let me know he was coming and that would not have happened if we had only worked, you know, via Zoom. If we, if Slack and Zoom and a phone call was the only way we worked professionally, then a different Aaron, is not gonna, you know, call me and tell me, hey, family's coming through Portland. And I had never met his wife and kids before. It's not like our family were friends. It's just, you know, it's just those connections that I think you make in person. And I think, so bringing it back to the TA happy hour and climbing off my soapbox, I think also the timing of it was about when things were really getting, the start of when things were really getting rough and it was hard, like a lot of layoffs and for talent acquisition people. And I thought, like, you know, what's going to help is like, there are a lot of people looking for jobs and getting people to a place to have an opportunity to talk to other people in the industry in person. Maybe there's like, you know, no job offers there, but at least you're making connections with people. You might hear about a job that's open or something. Like, I mean, that stuff works. So, I don't know. Nobody's come, you know, we've had, how many of them? Had six of them? Five of them? I don't know.
Something like that. I think we've had four.
Okay, four.
Yeah. Like every few months, right? We did two, three, four. Yeah. Four, I think.
Okay. Yeah. And then, yeah. So, I mean, I hope that it's helped somebody find a job. That would be great.
Yeah. And this kind of thing, and it's, you know, to be clear, A, if you're in the Portland area, and I would imagine our listenership is probably strongest in Portland than anywhere else. Thanks, Mom. But I think, if you can get out, I encourage you to. I probably have a conversation to a week of people that work in this space, yep, in this town that I had never met before. We, yep, just got introduced to one today. I'm like, yeah. You know, and they, I'm going back through their career journey and I'm like, how did we not meet on the job? Like, yeah, you know, there's reasons, and it's Portland's the smallest big town ever. And I do think that sense of community is really, really important.
It is
like now.
Yeah. It is so interesting. Like it is a big, small town, a small, big town, either one of those. But I think like, The thing that's been interesting is, and I feel this too, like it's very hard for me as somebody that lives in Portland, you as well, like leaving your house is one thing, but dear God, if you have to leave your neighborhood, because it's such a neighborhood based city. And, you know, if you ask somebody to drive more than 10 minutes, it's just like, oh my God, what are you asking for? Versus like, if it was LA or Houston or somewhere, you know, if it's like 35 minutes away, they're like, sure, yeah, no problem. But in Portland, man, nobody wants to drive.
So, if you're not from Portland, there's the east side of town and a west side of town, and never the twain shall meet. And
yeah,
don't make me cross the river. And I've been here all my life. It's we've had somewhere I've had to travel like an hour. I will do that all day because it's worth it for me.
Yeah.
I would rather do that than commute 5 days a week to get that hit, you know, that kick. But you are right. It is the fact, and you know, if you've attended one of our events, thank you for coming. My God.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't happen without the folks. Otherwise, you and I sitting there eating appetizers, drinking.
Yeah.
Which is awesome as well. But it's going to make for a lonely room without everybody else joining. No. I think the timing couldn't have been better because I was out of work on the first one we had. And, I didn't want to make it about that, but it felt so good to just connect and talk to other folks who were seeing kind of the same things I'm seeing. And when you shoot off 100, 150 resumes, you start to think, is there something wrong with me? You're like, no, yeah. That's just how bad things have gotten. They're not really any better, you know, fast forward a year. But I do feel like, you know, we've got some folks there who, you know, I think they've gotten some value out of that sense of connection as well.
Yeah, I think, and we, you know, we've taken somewhat of a pause this summer, but we'll, maybe not on the podcast, but I have some dates and proposals for you for the next one. So, yeah, I think we'll definitely make it happen in September. We'll get through Labor Day and then, we'll get in. I think there's a pent up demand to get people back together. So
I love it. That's good. That's how I know you've got a good thing going. Somehow, you know, we've covered a lot of ground in this. If I'm listening to this and I'm like, you know, David, I'm interested about RMB, I'm interested about entrepreneurship, I'm interested about any one of the different things we've talked about, your quest to visit all the ballparks, which we haven't even gotten into, really anything, what's the best way to get in contact?
So I'm just david@reimbi.com, reimbi.com. So like reimbursements, reimbi with an I at the end. You can find me on LinkedIn, the David Heller in Portland that is a co-founder of reimbi. Pretty easy to identify. Those are two easy ways to find me.
Awesome. I appreciate doing this, my friend. I appreciate your friendship. I appreciate just your investment in the space. You do it from like the most altruistic of angles, which is hard to do. You don't see it a lot, you know, from like the vendor practitioner side. So I appreciate your commitment to the space. And thanks for sitting down and talking to me today.
You bet, Aaron. It was fun. Maybe in another year, we'll do it again.
That's good. Sounds good, David. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the How We Interview podcast brought to you by Riembi. Head to our website at howweinterview.com to find the show notes and links mentioned in this episode. While you're there, subscribe to the podcast through your favorite podcast app so you never miss an episode. Leaving us a rating and review also helps us reach more listeners interested in learning from other talent acquisition professionals.